Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is the Church Girl, and I want to take a moment out to invite you to tune in to my new show, True Confessions of the Soul, starting at 7 p.m. Sundays after church. True Confessions of the Soul is a new show dedicated to love, Christian dating, relationships, and great gospel music. Join us for inspiring conversations and, yes, those true confessions of the soul, right here on the Love Zone USA.
All right. Happy Sunday to everyone out there. Happy Sunday. This is the Church Girl, and I'm here with my new co-host, breaking him in, Pastor Bob. Hello, Pastor.
Pastor Bob in the house.
They told me I needed a pastor with me because I might cut up. So,
yeah. Hello, everyone.
You got the oil ready?
I got all the oil you need.
Watch it, Pastor. Anyway, praise the Lord. We're talking about friends and how many of us have them, as Houdini say. And, Pastor Bob, what are we going to talk about? Give us some more about the details of these friends that we're going to talk about today.
Well, I tell you, when we ask someone what's the most painful event that they've ever experienced, one would think it might be the loss of a child or a parent. But if they're comfortable enough sharing, they might tell you that it was the infidelity of a spouse.
Oh.
And for that reason alone, we should avoid an affair at all costs, you know, the suffering that it puts on the betrayed spouse. But there are many other reasons to avoid an affair. You know, it's terribly damaging to the children, to the members of the extended family, and it's has devastating consequences to most couples. Yet, estimated 60% of all couples will suffer the effects of affair at some point during a marriage. Those are pretty high statistics. As damaging as an affair is, it is likely to happen to a lot of us if we don't take extraordinary precautions to avoid that.
So let me ask you this. So those friends can get in the way? Is that what we're going to be talking about?
Well, yeah.
What are the good friends? What are the bad friends? Are friends good, period, for a relationship? Can we do without them? I mean, is it even worth it, you know? So I'm so excited that you're going to allow us to talk about that. And I know you did some extensive research about friends and all that good stuff. So I don't know what to say.
Well, you know, I tell you.
Do you have friends? I mean, that, you know, do you have somebody?
Yes. I have friends. And what happens, especially with individuals getting married, later in life, they tend to bring into that relationship
friends
that they may have had,
right.
10, 15, 20, even 30 years. And so if there aren't clear boundaries and guidelines set up, a relationship can suffer as a result of those long-term friendships. And it works both ways. You know, you have to be able to say, you know, hey, this may not be appropriate in this new nuclear family that I have now. And the friend should be able to say, hey, listen, I know we can't carry on business as it once was. I remember when I had gotten married, I thought things would carry on the way that it was. But, this was a friendship that was a same-sex friendship. But my friend said, no, we can't hang out anymore. And I said, what do you mean we can't hang out anymore? He said, well, you're married and you really need to focus on your family now.
And that's a good friend.
Yeah, and I didn't really understand it at the time, and I felt like, boy, you know, my friends are deserting me. But, boy, he was light years ahead of his
right
time.
He was right
yeah.
on. Well, you know, and that's what we're going to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about those friends in that relationship. And is that a good friend to bring along, or should you cut this friendship? And nobody want to cut those lifelong friends, and we're going to talk all about it right here on True Confessions with a Church Girl and my co-host, Pastor Bob. But first, we're going to take a pause because I got some music. I want to get us ready. Go ahead and call a friend. If you want to call in and talk about this subject, I'm going to give you the number real quick. The number to call in is 646 I'm sorry, the number to dial in is 347 area code 539-5729. Okay, we're going to take a brief music pause right here, and we'll be coming back on the subject of friends. How many of us have them?
So no one told you life was going to be this way. Your time to joke, you broke, your love lost the whole way. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. But when it hasn't been your day, your week, month, or even your year, well, I'll be there for you. When the rain starts to pour, I'll be there for you. Like I've been there before, I'll be there for you. 'Cause you're there for me too. Going great. Your mother warned you there'd be days like these, but she didn't tell you when the world has brought you down to your knees. That I'll be there for you. When the rain starts to pour, I'll be there for you. Like I've been there before, I'll be there for you. 'Cause you're there for me too.
All right. Wow. Friends, they will definitely be there for you. And today you're listening to True Confessions with a Church Girl, and I'm here with co-host Pastor Bob, and we're discussing friends and how they play a role in our relationship, you know, in reference to that significant other I'm talking about that you plan on marrying or you are married to. And we are talking about, you know, what kind of friends, I guess we have to qualify these friends, Pastor Bob, to determine if these are the ones we want to continue a relationship or try to merge. I'm going to say that because it's not about continuing your friendship relationship, but now this friendship has to merge into your relationship. So it's another ship it has to go into.
Sure.
And some ships, you know, some friendships are not mergeable, and they need to be left right where they are and just say, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I moved on in my life, and this is just not going to be productive anymore as I'm moving forward towards, you know, whatever. So let's talk about that, Pastor, because, all right, I have a friend, you know who it is. And, you know, everyone don't have these type of friends. I have certain, I call them constituents. I have constituents, I have associates, and then I have friends. And the friends are the ones that have been around the longest, and they feel like they got some entitlement rights. They've been knowing you since when, and they've been knowing you longer than your new spouse or your new significant other. And so they feel like they got some rights in reference to telling you what you need or what's good for you. So let's talk about that. Tell me, how can we qualify the friends in our life. First of all, let's talk about the good friend.
Yeah.
What kind of friend we do want? Let's start there, because I want to know what kind of friend I want. Then we can talk about all the bad ones, because it's a lot different bad ones. But let's talk about the good friend.
Well, you know, as it relates to the opposite sex, and, you know, I've had female friends, you know, all of my life. I mean, real good friends, friends that I cared about dearly. And, you know, I carried those relationships into my adult life and into my relationships. But I think one glaring factor is if this friend had you had ever been in a relationship, an intimate relationship,
oh,
with,
yeah,
in the past.
That's true.
Relationships can convert over to a friendship, but there's always that potential for that spark
mm-hmm.
raising its head.
And
with the research that I've done on that particular subject, if you have a friend of the opposite sex, and they can be truly a dear friend, and you know they may not have, and you have had a relationship with them in the past, and there may not have been anything emotionally or physically
at that time
between you two for years.
Mm-hmm.
But once you bring a primary relationship, a fiance or a wife, into that equation, that is a no-no, in my opinion. You know,
right.
That's a relationship that cannot go on any mm-hmm. further. And so that's a conversation that you need to have, not even ask your spouse whether they're cool with that relationship. That's something that you really need to deal with and say, hey, listen, this relationship, I feel as dear as it is, I think it's ran its course, and I'm going to go on with the next chapter of my life. And it really, my spouse and I really don't need that kind of thing looming over our head. You know, even if the spouse never brings it up, it's something that still might be in the back of their head, especially if they know there was a relationship in the past.
So you're saying basically, if you have a friend that you was intimate with before, and even if it was one time, you tried it, didn't like it, or even if, you know, you tried it and it didn't work, whatever the reason, this is not the type of friend you want to, when you get the significant other, that you want to keep in the background. Because, you know, things, you know, you don't want the opportunity for the spark to pop up again. Because what I realize in relationship, you always have those high emotional moments.
Sure.
And you know how we go through this phase where you're looking at someone and they didn't look like you were interested in them, but now that you're married, you have something to compare to. I don't want to say it, but ladies, you do.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to say, wow, you know what? She's nothing like you. Mm.
Yeah, yeah, that's the danger.
Then you start saying, and then your friend that you used to be intimate with, she's able to relate to you better. And she's able to comfort you better. And now what you're doing is you're starting to go to her or him more than your spouse, because this is a comfortable thing, and I'm used to talking to you, and you know me, and I know you, and we don't have to hide our faces.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I call emotional bondages occur, because you become emotionally tied to this person because you're familiar with it.
Sure.
And so, yeah, definitely you don't want that friend in a new relationship. And one of the things I will agree with you definitely on is you don't want to – this is not something you tell your wife, your girl, whoever it is, your significant other. You deal with that one-on-one.
Absolutely.
Because once she realizes that that's the situation,
mm-hmm.
she's going to be watching you like a hawk, or he's going to be watching you. And as soon as you try to act like, let a text come across your phone with that person's name,
yeah, yeah,
or anything, she's forever, they are suspicious, and they will be suspected. Suspicious, and you will be in their lives forever. And you just don't need that when you're already starting a new road. New road, new friends, and a new walk. That's how I like to look at it primarily.
And if I could put an exclamation point on that subject, a person doesn't necessarily have to be jealous
mm-hmm.
To be uncomfortable with that type of relationship, especially if they know there's been some intimacy shared in the past.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. And so we're going to pause again because we want people to get, I want y'all to know what we're talking about. You better call that friend who ain't understanding why you can't be friends no more and tell them to tune in to True Confessions here and definitely tell them the dollar number. I'm going to give you the number one more time, and then we're going to take a pause real quick. And the number to dial is 347-539. All right.
5729.
There we go. 5729. All right, let's pause and listen to some Whitney Houston. You can count on me. Ain't that what they say, Pastor Bob?
That's exactly what they say, and you can count on me, church girl.
I know I can.
Please.
All right. That was Whitney Houston, You Can Count on Me. God bless her soul. She sung the most beautiful music ever. I mean, every time I hear her music, I just go, oh, you know, I have that moment. All right, we're back. You're listening to True Confessions of the Soul with the Church Girl, and I have Pastor Bob here. Pastor, are
Pastor
you there? And we're talking about friends. How many of us have them? And we were saying, well, we're talking about the friends that we can't carry over in that relationship. And Pastor Bob was going over some things, and one of the I would say, major detail of a no-no, you can't cross over, sorry,
yeah.
Got to leave you right here, and that's the friend that you once were intimate with. Okay, doesn't matter if that was how many years ago, whatever, if you were intimate with that person, and God forbid if you don't tell a significant other and they find out about it later, I don't even have to tell you the can of worms that's going I don't have to tell you the can of worms that that's going to open. Now, that brings me to the next point, Pastor, and you were saying.
Yes.
Okay, baby mama. Okay, mm-hmm. baby daddy.
Ooh,
okay.
I can feel the drama.
Uh-oh. Okay, ex-wife, exes, the exes.
Yes.
My exes live in Texas. Okay. All the exes who have children by, you know, you have children by this person or this individual. And, yes, we got to keep the communication open for the children's sake. All right? Now, Pastor, come tell us how can we deal with this situation correctly? Because that one is a doozy.
This one is a tricky one. This one is a tricky one because you still want to have that level of communication open so that you can continue that dialogue. And be notified if there's any issues that, you know, that dad or mom need to address. So you want to keep that, you know, that relationship as problem-free and as tension-free as possible.
I agree. Yes, you do.
And that's fine. But what tends to happen is at some point during that divorce relationship, somebody's going to get married again, or someone's going to start dating someone again. Someone's going to get engaged again. And because you have been so friendly during the divorce process, you know, you may think, hey, well, we can still continue with the
friends.
Daily or bi-daily or evening phone calls, the unannounced drop-bys. You know, hey, there's a problem with the plumbing. Can you come by and take a look at this? Or, you know
all that stuff is wrong.
All that stuff, you know, and
looking
and
for trouble.
You're absolutely looking for trouble. But you really, that's something you really need to deal with before there's someone significant in your life, because what happens is, my grandmother used to say, when you got your hand in the lion's mouth, you want to take it out easy. And if
that's true.
That's true. Now, But what happens is, if you've carried on this wonderful post-marriage divorce relationship
right.
with the ex-spouse, and then the new significant other has come into the picture, and they're just not comfortable with these two folks who share children together, share finances together, share the bed together, they're not comfortable with all this ki-ki-ki, you know, and, you know, stepping in the corner of the room to talk. That's going to cause some problems. That can cause some major problems. And that's another one that if you're not careful, that person knows everything about you, especially if you spend a significant amount of time together. And that's someone you definitely don't want to be carrying information from your new relationship to sharing that with the last person, because they know the things that make you tick, those things that make you smile, those things that get you upset, and they know how to push those buttons. And, you know, the grass is going to always be greener on the other side. And those very same things that attracted you initially to that individual, you know, before you got married the first time, those things are still there. And what happens is, you know, you tend to, when you're in a different relationship and you're looking back, you tend to forget all the bad times. All you think about is, boy, they made a great meatloaf. You know,
a great meatloaf. Now, you know that ain't what they're thinking about, but go ahead. We'll use the meatloaf.
Yeah. Well, okay. If we want to keep it real,
we want to keep it. Wait.
If they may have gained 50 pounds since they got married, and then you see me, you're like, boy, they sure look good in those jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, boy, you didn't like those jeans before, now you like them all of a sudden. And see, that's how the mind plays those tricks on you.
Yes, it does.
And that's why that's a dangerous relationship to cultivate. That relationship should be strictly business, strictly about the kids, strictly about child support, if that's the situation, or strictly about alimony, if that's the situation. But it has to be strictly business. You can't share any information about the new spouse with the old spouse. You can't go over there crying on any shoulders or anything like that. You have to have clearly defined rules on how you approach that relationship.
All right. Now, that's very clear and precise in how you said that. Now, let me give you the ladies' version. Ladies.
Okay.
Let me tell you how we thinking when we see you do that. Men, I'm going to talk to you, Kip. I'm going to talk to you, too. This is how we see a lot of it. If a man, okay, maybe we couldn't, see, women, we'll put you in a different category, okay? You didn't cut out as the husband. All right, so maybe you'll do good as the provider only. Maybe that's all we liked about you. You understand? Maybe we didn't like your attitude. We didn't like the way you treated us. We don't like the way we don't like how you are in bed. Let me say it. And we might have things we don't like about you, but the stuff we do like about you, we're willing to keep that, okay? And that's why you have to be careful with exes, especially divorcees, because what happens is the common communication is there already. It's just that it was pretty much disconnected when you were going through your irreconcilable differences, and I'm going to go back to that word. Because what happens is you say you're divorcing and you're severing the relationship because you have irreconcilable differences. So if that's the case, what are you talking about? Why are y'all communicating? I thought y'all was irreconcilable. You understand? So the thing about it is the way women do, we'll take another version of you. I don't want you to be coming home. I don't want to come home to you. I don't want to answer to you. I don't want you telling me what to do. But I do like the fact that how you handle your business and you take care of the bills in the house, and I don't have to worry about the rent, and I don't have to worry about this and that. And so I'm not ready to be responsible and walk the walk that I just talk the talk in. So I'm going to keep you. I want to keep a communication open because I need you to still supply those needs to me.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I got you to supply those needs to me, then I'm fine, because then I can get the rest of the stuff I need from other people. And we, and women, we are guilty of this. We can build us a nice man, you know. I can get me the gay friend who likes to go shopping, and he likes to spend his money on me too because I'm going out with him. And then we also like the man that is strictly business, and he's very driven, and he keeps me focused on my business projects and all my insight and wisdom that I need. So we'll get someone like that. And then we need that emotional friend that is so emotional and in touch to his dreams and his visions and his spirituality. So we'll get a friend like that. And then we got to get the other brother that's going to handle his business. You know what I'm saying?
The Zulu warrior.
I'm not going to say it, but you know where I'm going. And we can build us a man. So
yes.
That's one of the reasons why I say, you know, you got to cut it and keep it professional. And one of the things you didn't share yet, and we were talking about it earlier, Pastor, is that you were saying treat the other relationship like, you know, you were saying a business, like a enemy, you know, like
yes.
Not an enemy, but you said it in a way where
two rival companies.
Like two rival companies. Explain that to the listeners so they can get an insight of what I'm talking about.
What happens is, you know, you got State Farm, which is an insurance company. You got Nationwide, which is an insurance company. And that's how you should treat your relationship with the ex-significant other that you had in your life. It should be strictly business. You know, you guys share similar things in common, which may be kids or grandkids, those things like that. But at the end of the day, you know, I have my business I have to run. They have their business that they have to run. And you can't get involved with the way, if I have a State Farm agency, I can't get involved with how Nationwide run their business and how they treat their customers. And I say that as it relates to kids. When you have the spouse and what rules and regulations they have in their house, that's not your concern. That's not your business anymore. And we see that's when most of us get in trouble, is when we try and run two different households. It's tough enough just running our own household. And by the same token, whatever rules and regulations that you have in your household, it's none of their business, none of their concerns. So when the best way to put it is that I heard someone say this, when they go over to their ex-spouse's house, they don't even cross the threshold of the home. They stay on the front porch. The kids come out. If that's not a workable situation, they meet each other around the corner somewhere. But you have to conduct it like business, and you have to be professional about it. That way emotions don't get involved.
That's true.
And everybody knows where everyone else stands at. And so that when you bring someone who you care about into that equation, you don't have the problems with wherein it looks like you guys are, you know, just an extended version of the marriage, even though you have the divorce papers and things like that. And you just really don't want to bring a new person in that kind of relationship, and they look at that and they say, you know, you haven't gotten your stuff together, or you still got some issues, or you still connected to this person. And one way to assure that there is no connection there is just to sever those kind of situations where you're in each other's lives. Just got to stay out of their lives. You got to cut it off. And if there's a problem with the plumbing, have her call Roto-Rooter. You know,
you got to handle her business now. I mean, they got to handle their business. It's no longer that's done. When you say, let me go back to that famous word, and they have it on every divorce, irreconcilable differences. If you're saying you can't reconcile on no level, then you can't reconcile on no level. Then if you still feel like, the grandkids are there and I still got to connect and I got to make sure this is done, I got to call and talk to them every week, I need updates. If you still feel like a piece of your heart is there and you still want to keep that part alive in a non-professional way, you shouldn't have left.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to give it to you 100. I don't want to hear, because if you still tussling with that thing and it's still, you got a new wife at home and you still paying the rent for your old ex-wife's house, or you still making sure they got everything they need in that house, you should not have left. So I know you don't want to hear it, but I'm letting you know. Now, I ain't telling you to go back and all that if that's your situation, but you shouldn't have left. And you, that's going to be really hard to undo that, because you shouldn't have, you know, you got to cut your losses. You got to, you know, everything is a loss that's why we ain't supposed to get divorced, because it tears you apart. I mean, literally, and even if you're not married and you was and you had a child by someone, it's very hard to, you know, look at this person, have that life, and you're stuck with with your life, and it may be broken, or you may feel overwhelmed because you have more responsibilities now, or whatever the case. But definitely, that thing cannot work. So, let me share this story real quick, and I'm going to show you how I have now. I know people are like, oh, it's easy for you to say. No, it's easy for me to say now because I lived through it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was happening to me, Pastor, let me tell you what happened.
Tell me.
My ex, we had a perfect, you know what, we didn't communicate well towards the end of the marriage, but once we got the divorce, we were like best friends. Like, it was cool. I can go over his house and wash clothes. We didn't have any problems with seeing the kids. I can just pop over, go see the kids, help them with their homework. I would even start dinner because I wanted to help him, because he was single. I just didn't want to be with him, like, you know what I mean? But I still like being a mother, and I still enjoyed, you know, having that part of the relationship and everything. And so with that being said, you know, I kept going and doing that kind of, you know, stuff. And one day I went to the house, and some chick up in there making some cabbage. Let me tell you. Yeah, she was cooking cabbage. Mm-hmm. Had the window open, everything smelling all good. I was like, hold up. I thought I was supposed to come over here and fix dinner. And he came to the door with the door all cracked. I was like, hold up. I was like, hello. He was like, yeah. I said, what's wrong with you? He was like, I got company. I said, okay, that's cool. I just want to come in real quick and, you know, and get my laundry, because, you know, I said I'm washing laundry over there, that I left over here. No big deal. Y'all go ahead and have dinner. Because that's how I felt. I wasn't threatened by her, and I didn't care about him and her, and I just wanted to come get my laundry. And so he was like, I can't do that right now. And I was like, oh, no, you didn't. I said, I know you ain't got no, you know I ain't said the save word. I know you ain't got nobody up in here in my kitchen. Hold up, women. Here we go. In my kitchen, cooking in front of my kids, and I can't even come in here and get my. So I went down that road. And the thing about it is, after I went through that transition, I remember her being very precise. She was like, listen, she told him, and he told me. He said, listen, I have someone I'm with now. Things have to change. She's the woman in my life now. We didn't work out. And so I have to show her respect and reassure her that it's okay, that it's okay. And you coming up, even though we don't have anything, it don't look right. So don't let your good be spoken evil of. And I don't want my new wife or my new friend feeling intimidated by something that ain't working, that we ain't even trying to have. And I couldn't receive it at that time. But, you know, I was in a position where, in my mind, I wasn't doing anything wrong. And, shoot, I was with you longer than her. I know her. She a stranger. It didn't matter. I had to move on. I had to cut the cord. I had to show respect to the new woman in the house. We got to do that, ladies. And we don't want to do it, but you have to. And when I did that, I was like, okay, it wasn't easy. I'm not going to tell you it's easy, but I did it, and now I understand it. And now I'm able to be respectful towards her, show, and I'm actually grateful to her that she kind of did that. Because I would have continued to be in his life. I would have continued to be in their house eating cabbage with them. You understand? That don't look right. But I understand some people going to say, yeah, well, we get along as one big happy family. Okay. All right. Well, you getting along as one big happy family until you get in an argument with your new wife. Because then guess who's going to be there? Ex. And she's going to be like, well, I could have told you that.
Uh-huh. Waiting for the opportunity.
Waiting for the opportunity to tear you up. Okay, I think we talked enough. We're going to pause and listen to some Mariah Carey. I mean, I'm enjoying this subject about friends so much. And then we're going to wrap up because we have a list to give you. So we're going to go to Mariah Carey, Anytime You Need a Friend. Watch out for those, okay? But we're going to play her song, Anytime You Need a Friend. You're listening to True Confessions with a Church Girl and Pastor Bob right here on the Love Zone USA.
Just remember. gonna get right into it, baby. I know I don't do this often, but lately God's been showing me what you are to me. When I'm awake and when I'm asleep, so I had to come and sing it. You are everything I had dreamed and it came true.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Who am I to deserve this good love? God, I thank you for coming through.
Thank you for coming through.
So nobody,
nobody loves you like I do. Nobody loves me the way you do. Nobody closer to my heart. Nobody but God.
Make it work. Cause without him, we'd be like all these other couples out here fighting. Breaking up, talking about divorce. Now ain't that trifling? No, I don't want none of it. So I'ma let God handle it.
Have your way.
And girl, I will always try to be that special guy for the rest of your life. Nobody
had a little bit of technical difficulties there. Are you on with me, Pastor?
I'm absolutely on with you, sister.
I don't think the devil wants us to talk about this.
My
phone just went
mad, y'all.
Everything just went dead like that. I said, wait a minute, hello? Okay.
Somebody didn't pay that light bill.
Why you know what? You wrong. You
wrong,
wrong for that.
That was wrong on so many levels.
I
but
know.
We got to finish this up.
Okay. So, welcome back. You're listening to True Confessions of the Soul with Church Girl, Pastor Bob in the building. All right, Pastor. So, we got a list to help everybody else.
Yes, we
do. So, let's talk about that list. Now, here's a list. What's the name of the list?
The list is called The List.
We have a list for you to have for, to I guess, this is the friends list. Okay.
Well, yeah, that's the name of the friends list. But to keep everything in perspective, you know, mm-hmm. the first place to look for the highest risk of an affair from the opposite sex friend is someone that we've been in a relationship with a friendship relationship for a while. And that individual knows just about everything that is to know about us. And there are certain things that we need to ask ourselves whether this relationship is appropriate or not. And the first thing is whether your spouse is aware of the relationship that you have with this opposite sex friendship. Wouldn't that be a good place to start, Church Girl?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You want to be able to share that information if you're comfortable with it. And if everything's above board, you know, you want to put it out there and just let them know, hey, you know, this is a friend of mine. I've had this friend for so long, you know, but, you know, I need to know that you're comfortable with this or we just have to do something differently going forward. The next question is, would you act differently with this individual if your spouse was right there? Which means if all three of you were sitting down and having lunch together, do you conduct yourself or carry yourself the same way as you do as you would if you were having lunch alone with that friend? Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just thinking, and I'm daydreaming, actually, while you're saying that, because I'm trying to visualize, you know, how friends, how you can tell that's not a mutual friend. And we talked about your new friend, I mean, I'm sorry, your lifelong friend or your friend from years ago. When you have a significant other or a spouse, I know they are your friend, but unfortunately, they have to become mutual friends to that spouse as well. So basically, it shouldn't be two separate relationships. It shouldn't be, now, they don't have to hang out and do everything like they would hang out with you. But if it's one of the opposite sex, she should show respect. He should show respect. If he calls your phone or call your house, he should automatically greet and ask. He or she should greet and ask about the spouse. Hey, how's your spouse doing? How's so-and-so? Oh, that's good. Tell them I said hello. And, yeah, can I speak to him?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? I just want to let you know I'm thinking about you, and we're getting ready to talk about some business, but I just wanted to say hi. Show some courtesy, show some respect, and it helps. It goes a long way because it makes the spouse or the significant other feel like, okay, this is not, you know.
Everybody's being above board. No one's hiding anything.
There's no secrets here. And remember, it's all about trust. At the end of the day and at the beginning of the day, it's always about trust. And you have to protect the trust in your relationship. I cannot express that enough. You know, a lot of times we have trust issues. We all do. But whatever trust levels that you have, and I'm going to say levels because I don't like to say, oh, I don't trust somebody. Maybe my level of trust is not where it needs to be with you, you know, because of certain situation. So wherever your trust levels are in a relationship, please protect those trust levels. Do whatever you have to and whatever you can do to protect that trust. I don't want him to think I'm doing something behind his back. So, yeah, I'm going to call and say, hey, you know what? I just left the office. I'm out and about. Just want you to know, not that I feel like I got to check in with you, but I just want you to know that this is how it is. Because when you have a new relationship, this is a new thing, and everybody don't know everybody's patterns, and sometimes we do break patterns. And when you break patterns in a new relationship, it looks suspicious. So if you just get in the habit of protecting the trust, always being upfront and open and saying, hey, yeah, let me tell you what this person said. I just want you to know I ain't hiding nothing, you know. It's important. So go ahead with your list. I'm sorry. I got on the soapbox.
Okay, and the next one would be knowing everything that you know about the relationship that you have with your opposite sex friend. Would you feel comfortable if your spouse shared that same kind of relationship with a member of the opposite sex?
Wait a minute. Hold up. Say that again. Say that part again.
It said knowing everything that you know about your relationship with your opposite sex friend, would you feel comfortable if your spouse had an opposite sex friend that they shared that same kind of relationship with, knowing everything you know about your relationship with your friend?
Mm-hmm.
And see, what that does is, you know, hey, shoes on the other foot. You know, we sit there and we look in each other's eyes while we're drinking coffee at Starbucks and everything, and I'm sitting there talking about all the different things that, you know, going wrong and going right in my life. And would you feel comfortable if your spouse was out there doing that with someone else?
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask yourself that question.
That's true.
Are you physically or emotionally attracted to your friend on some level? It doesn't have to be something that was ever vocalized where you say, ooh, boy, I think you are so fine. I like the way those jeans are working. It doesn't have to be anything like that, but just on a subconscious level. They walk into a room and you think, boy, you know something? If I wasn't married and the moon was in the seventh star and Jupiter was surrounding Mars, then we might be able to hook up or something like that. If there's any kind of attraction physically or emotionally on any kind of level, you need to back away from that. Do you tend to compare, either fairly or unfairly, your spouse to your friend? You know, like, oh, I wish you were more like this, or, you know, he's like this, or he does that. We go out somewhere and he holds the chair.
Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, do not ever bring up I don't care if it's good or bad, what that ex-spouse did. If you want to get slammed in the face and say, delete my number and go back to her, don't say, oh, well, you know, she did this to me, so you know, don't put us in the same sentence. And you definitely better not make me feel like I'm on the, you in your mind, because if you do it one time, then what happens is we think you do it all the time. Oh, you're comparing me.
Yeah.
So that's why I said you have to control the levels of trust in your relationship. And you violate trust when you start comparing, because what happens is you may not think that's violating the trust, but it makes that person feel like, well, I can't trust you because you thinking about this person. Why are you with me? So I can't trust you. So, definitely you don't want to do that. But listen, to everyone out there, I know this is a lot of information and we all have friends, and I want to talk about it some more, especially we want to talk about coworkers. We got to get them coworkers in line.
Yeah,
they like to bring coffee to you, and then you be flirting, and y'all go to lunch together, and she be walking all up in your office with the short skirt.
That sounds familiar.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Well, it's time for us to go. Pastor Bob is going to pray, and we're going to close out with a friend's prayer. And we're going to close out with Dionne Warwick. Friends. That's what friends are for. And y'all know we didn't give y'all a lot of good illustration of the friends. Look, that type of friend. But friends are good to have at the end of the day. We just have to keep them in their prospective places. Everyone has a place, and you have to keep them in their prospective places. So with that being said, Pastor, can you please lead us in a moment of prayer?
Father, I want to thank you for being so merciful and so full of grace.
Amen.
For looking down on us in our time of need, for allowing us to walk in your shadow of forgiveness. Today's topic was about friend. The Bible says that if you want to be a friend, you got to show yourself friendly. And we want to reach out on behalf of the true friends, friends that you can depend on when you're in need, those friends that you can call on any time of the day and night, and they're there for you, those friends that respect the relationship that you have with your spouse and wouldn't do anything in the world to endanger that relationship. Those friends can add value to a relationship, those friends that you can call on and you can rely on and you can trust, and that love both you and your spouse equally. We ask you to continue to bless us and strengthen us and give us strong, clean hands so that we can be instant in season and out of season. We ask all these things in your son's precious name. Amen.
Amen. And praise God. And we want to invite you to write our show. You can write me at trueconfessionsradio@gmail.com or hit me up on Facebook, True Confessions Radio. Or hit me up with Laura, Church Girl. You can find me. Trust me, I'm all over on Facebook. And as always, we want to thank you for tuning in. You can always tune into this broadcast each and every Sunday starting at 7 p.m. And we will be getting extended another hour. So you want to definitely be on the lookout of that. So we're going to close out with Dionne Warwick, Friends. I love that song. How about you?
Oh, that's such a beautiful song.
All right. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. Have a blessed and happy Sunday.
Thought I'd feel this way, and as far as I don't mind.